NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. What a mighty and humiliating fall. Dennis Hastert, once one of the most powerful men in the country and second in line for the presidency, faced a blistering dressing down from an angry federal judge in Chicago today as he publicly confronted a shameful past and was sentenced to prison. Hastert was convicted of a financial crime, but it was part of a scheme to mask something more egregious, his molestation of children. And today he came face to face with one of his alleged victims. NBC's Stephanie Gosk was there.
Former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert arrived at Chicago's federal courthouse today in a wheelchair. His lawyers argued that his poor health should keep him out of prison. But the judge was unsparing, saying of Hastert, nothing is more stunning than having serial child molester and Speaker of the House in the same sentence. Hastert was sentenced to 15 months in prison, followed by 2 years of supervised release for illegally structuring cash withdrawals, hush money used to pay a man who says Hastert sexually abused him when he was 14 years old. The statute of limitations on the alleged sexual abuse has expired, but Judge Thomas Durkin considered the allegations in giving Hastert nearly three times the original sentencing recommendation from the federal prosecutor. The lawyer for the alleged victim reacted to the sentence.
They worked hard to get at the truth, and eventually I think they got there.
Scott Cross also wrestled for the Yorkville team, now a 53-year-old businessman and a father of two. He was referred to as Individual D by federal prosecutors until speaking out in court today.
After decades of unfathomable silence, he stood up and spoke the truth.
At times breaking down with emotion, Cross told the judge that Coach Hastert sexually abused me my senior year of high school. He said he never told anyone about his darkest secret, even as his brother Tom would become the leader of the GOP in Illinois, closely mentored by Dennis Hastert. The former speaker actually reached out to Tom Cross for a character reference to be used in today's sentencing hearing, but that reference was never sent. The sister of Stephen Reinbolt, another alleged victim, also spoke today in court. Her brother died of AIDS in 1995.
It wasn't just Steve making up the story.
So it's validation.
Absolutely.
Today in court, the judge asked Hastert directly about Reinbolt. So did you sexually abuse him? Yes. Standing to deliver a statement in a shaky voice, Hastert said, I wanted to apologize to the boys I mistreated when I was their coach. Still, the judge issued a harsh rebuke, concluding in his words that some actions can obliterate a lifetime of good works. In a statement, Hastert's lawyer says his client accepts the sentence and hopes he can now focus on his health and fixing the emotional damage he's done to family and friends. So far, authorities have yet to identify the prison where he will serve his time. Lester?
All right. Stephanie Goss tonight, thank you. It's been a day of bombshells in the race for president after a landslide sweep across five states put Donald Trump even closer to the nomination. Ted Cruz is the one naming a running mate, picking Carly Fiorina as his VP choice in an effort to shake up the race and try to force a face-off with Trump in a contested convention. NBC's Peter Alexander has details on a wild day.
Fresh off a stinging streak of humiliating losses to Donald Trump, Ted Cruz tonight tossing up a Hail Mary pass.
With my vice presidential nominee, Carly Fiorina.
Mathematically eliminated from winning his party's nomination outright, Cruz's only shot to win Indiana next week and hope for a contested convention.
Carly confronted Donald Trump. And every one of us remembers the grace, the class, the elan with which Carly responded.
Tonight's move, new logo and all, almost unprecedented. The first Republican VP announcement by a non-nominee in decades. The plan backfiring for Ronald Reagan in 1976. This time around, Fiorina alone on stage, serenading Cruz's daughters, trying to steal back the spotlight.
I'm so happy I can see them all.
With five more dominating wins, Trump already casting himself as the presumptive nominee. His son, Eric, calling today's move an act of desperation. Why Fiorina? Why now? The former Hewlett-Packard CEO built a strong leadership team of influential women in Indiana before exiting the race and can attack both Hillary Clinton and Trump. Today's announcement largely overshadowing Trump's first major foreign policy speech.
America first will be the major and overriding theme of my administration.
the first time politician's speech striking both for its lack of theatrics and lack of specifics.
ISIS will be gone if I'm elected president, and they'll be gone quickly.
The off-the-cuff candidate today reading off a teleprompter, repeatedly assailing the president and the former Secretary of State.
The legacy of the Obama-Clinton interventions will be weakness, confusion, and disarray.
And as for the new Cruz Fiorina ticket, one influential Republican tells NBC News tonight, Republican primary voters already rejected Fiorina, so all Cruz did today was change the conversation. The question now, did he change the math? Cruz trails Trump by 6 points in Indiana with less than 1 week to go. Lester?
All right, Peter, and there's some high drama as Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump engage in a new war of words over women, sparring over Trump's accusation that she is playing the so-called woman card. A likely preview of the intense battle to come in a general election matchup. And there's late word Bernie Sanders is laying off hundreds of staffers. NBC's Andrea Mitchell has those details for us.
Hillary Clinton firing back after Donald Trump accused her of playing the woman card.
If fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
Trump not holding back.
I call her Crooked Hillary.
But it was this new line that got the attention of many, seemingly including Trump supporter Chris Christie's wife, Mary Pat.
If Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card. And the beautiful thing is, women don't like her, okay?
Their war of words has been building.
She doesn't have the strength and she doesn't have the energy to be president.
Come out of those towers named for yourself and actually talk and listen to people.
And it's a gender war that could decide the election if they're the nominees. The latest NBC News Survey Monkey online poll shows Clinton with a whopping 21-point lead among women. He has a smaller lead, 8 points among men. The Clinton campaign sees his latest attacks as a way to mobilize women voters, even fundraising on it today. But early this morning, Trump was at it again.
Her shouting that message. And I know a lot of people would say you can't say that about a woman because, of course, a woman doesn't shout. But the way she shouted that message was not boo.
You don't have to be a Hillary Clinton supporter to think that there is a sexist undertone to what he's saying.
But before Clinton faces off with a Republican, there is still Sanders, who is staying in the race even with a scaled-back staff until the last primaries to get as many delegates as possible so he can fight for his issues at the convention. Lester.
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. Tonight, millions are facing another round of potentially dangerous and destructive storms. New tornadoes forming as homeowners in Texas are left picking up the pieces after a direct hit on their homes. NBC's Miguel Almaguer is in the hardest-hit area for us.
A frightening night in the plains, twisters in the dark, knocking out power to well over 100,000 people. Hail the size of golf balls. In Kansas City, flooding, record rain, 3.5 inches in one day. Winds reached 100 miles an hour.
Hear a big boom and the windows are bowing and houses creaking.
Power lines came crashing down. So did trees in Chakota, Oklahoma. At least 10 tornadoes touched down across the plains. But the catastrophic twisters so many feared never materialized. But in Texas, just outside Houston, a 62-year-old woman was killed in a roof collapse. Near Dallas, at least a dozen homes damaged. Roofs gone, trees into homes.
Pretty much everything's destroyed.
Now the cleanup. One storm gone. But tonight, an ominous sign. Another round begins.
With homes in pieces and lives ripped apart, tonight they say it's a miracle no one was killed on this Texas block. The damage in this area is easily going to be in the millions. Meantime, in the South and the Midwest, there are two reported tornadoes on the ground in both areas. Those storms said to be potent, but not quite as powerful as the ones that ripped across this area last night. Lester.
All right, Miguel, thank you very much. There's a lot more to tell you about tonight. Still ahead, attention online shoppers, a new easier way to pay. If you're sick of remembering passwords, soon you'll be able to shop simply by saying cheese. We're back now with a leap forward that could change everything about the way you shop. We all know it can be difficult to keep track of all your passwords for online purchases. At the same time, we're dealing with an epidemic of identity theft. But as NBC's Olivia Stearns explains tonight, the solution to both problems might just be snapping a selfie.
From the Oscars to the Oval Office to the streets of New York, Americans love taking selfies. And soon we could be using them to shop.
So you line your face up.
Yes.
And then you have to blink?
Yes.
This summer, MasterCard is rolling out selfie technology that will let you verify payments with your face. And with online fraud rampant, up 32% last year, cybersecurity experts say selfies could be a solution.
How secure is this?
It is very, very secure. And you got to look at it in the context of what do consumers do today. People keep very dumb passwords.
Here's how it works. Instead of typing in a password, you take a picture of yourself. Facial recognition software scans your eyes, nose, and mouth, blink once to prove you're alive and well, and with a click, you're verified.
You're not going to forget your face like you forget a password. And it's easy to do. Our phones have cameras.
Those who've tried it overwhelmingly say selfies are more convenient than passwords and more secure. Selfies are just one example of biometrics, technology that measures our physical attributes. Some privacy advocates don't like the idea of sharing that info, but most everyone agrees it's more secure.
It's very hard to counterfeit your face or your fingerprint.
As companies like Amazon, Google, and Apple explore new ways to use biometrics, by next year, over 1 billion people could be using these systems to pay their bills. So in our selfie-obsessed culture, your picture could soon be worth 1,000 passwords. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, New York.
We're back in a moment with the Army captain who's achieving something no woman in history has before. History is being made in the United States military. Captain Kristen Greist is set to become the Army's very first female infantry officer. She is expected to graduate tomorrow from the Maneuver Captain's Course at Fort Benning. And while she's the first, she won't be the last. The Army is committed to considering more than 20 other women for combat leadership roles. When we come back here tonight, we go where cameras have never gone before. An exclusive look inside the secret lab where Google's owner is creating the next big thing. Finally tonight, an NBC News exclusive and a glimpse into the future. Last week, we traveled to the Silicon Valley where our cameras were given rare access to the secret lab of Google's parent company, Alphabet. It's an ambitious place where they look 10 years into the future and where it seems there are no crazy ideas when it comes to changing how we live. Its name, X, leaves plenty to the imagination. And here, imaginations run wild.
We want to actually see if there's an area that hasn't been explored yet that we could help the world by trying to explore.
Astro Teller challenges the status quo. A man in perpetual motion, he runs Alphabet's X, the moonshot factory once known as Google X.
Most ideas, most of your ideas, most of my ideas, most of everyone's ideas here aren't going to work out. That's just the truth when we're coming up with unusual ideas.
You celebrate failure.
For having the bravery to say that their own project wasn't good enough. We say, go take a vacation. Relax for a couple weeks. Come back. The world's your oyster.
We were granted rare access to this top-secret world of what-ifs. What if balloons could form Wi-Fi networks in the sky for remote parts of the world? Welcome to Project Loon. Using what may be the world's largest flatbed scanner, a former fashion designer works to make a balloon durable enough to stay aloft for months.
One balloon that can carry the entire payload, flight electronics system, with the communications and the flight controls. It can steer in all the wind layers.
Other promising projects, kites to generate electricity.
They're still working hard at seeing if they can find an Achilles heel in the project.
One concept X developers have been unable to kill as hard as they've tried is the driverless car with over 1.5 million self-driving miles on the road.
Where's the best place for me to sit?
So you'll want to sit behind the driver?
By law, someone has to be at the wheel, but it's the car in full control. Now test driving in four cities.
The self-driving car project is in the middle of graduating from X, and this is a sort of gradual process.
So do we really need self-flying vehicles to deliver packages to our door? Here at X, they believe it's inevitable.
What if you actually could put anything, anywhere, just in the moment you wanted it, essentially for free?
Plenty here remains under wraps, but we did get a peek into the design kitchen where prototypes are made. And by the way, not everyone here is a rocket scientist.
There's many brilliant scientists and engineers here, but there's also a lot of other people working here. So seamstresses, designers, business people, marketers, etc.
AstroTeller is not ashamed of projects that have fallen short, including Google Glass, which disappointed early testers.
Instead of being excited about the prototype that they had and were exploring with us, they ended up frustrated because they were expecting it to be a finished product when it really wasn't.
But every once in a while, one of these things is going to work.
That's right, because one idea in 1,000 turns out to be cars that drive themselves.
The folks at X aren't saying when that driverless car will be available to consumers, but we did get a bit of a hint. The leader of the project has said that he is determined that his 12-year-old son won't need to get a driver's license. I'll let you do the math. That's going to do it for us on this Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.